unique in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Nigerian football coach Emmanuel Egbo will celebrate his 47th birthday on Saturday. But you might say Coach Egbo received an early birthday present last weekend when he led KF Tirana to the Albanian Super League title. In the process, he became the first Nigerian coach to lead a European team to a league title. In the second part of his interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Egbo said he's optimistic KF Tirana will do well in the next UEFA Champions League tournament.
I believe God have chosen this team, have chosen me to use this team to do wonderful things. And we'll continue to believe in him, to always go into the field and work, do our best, give our maximum. And we know that by his special grace that he's going to use us to do more, as he have promised. Because this journey is not just a human journey. It's a journey that the Almighty God is in between, going with us and come and leading us through. So we believe that we are not just going there in the Champions League to be a pass away by, or just to come and watch and go. No, by the special grace of God, we are going to continue to accomplish that the Lord has destined there, that is going to happen. Because this is a continuation of the prophecy that has been spoken upon this team, upon myself, Luis Emmanuel Egbo, as the head coach of this team. And I believe that prophecy shall come to fulfillment by the wonderful miracle that God is going to use this team to perform in the near future.
What's your message to African coaches aspiring to follow your footsteps and to fans in Africa, especially in Nigeria?
Well, to all the African coaches, I will use this opportunity to say that this should be a kind of support, a kind of opportunity to give you confidence and faith that with hard work, with belief in oneself and believe in what you are doing. And of course, they believe in the Almighty God that nothing is impossible. Impossible is nothing. The best is yet to come. We just need to be focused, to concentrate on our jobs, to concentrate in giving our maximum always, to concentrate to learning more of our job from every angle, from every possibility that will come our way. And I believe that doing that, the sky will be the limit of African coaches. I believe in this achievement of mine that the Almighty God have used us to accomplish, that there will be open doors for other African coaches. And from my fans in Africa, I've received a lot of calls from people I don't even know about. I didn't know that this is a huge, awesome achievement until I was explained that I'm the first African and Nigerian coach to win an European championship with an European team. So I hope that it's going to be a special celebration for all the African and Nigerian fans for this wonderful achievement that we have achieved. And also for my fans, the fans of my team in Albania, this title goes to them because they are like our number 12th player in the game. Even during the COVID, this COVID times, they have been our full support run up out of the stadium, even traveling, going to away games and supporting from far away out of the stadium still. So they have been a kind of pillar after God and after ourselves that have been supporting us all the way through. So this victory goes also to the fans of the KF Tirana, the Fanatics, and the T4 Tirana.
That's Emmanuel Egbo, the head coach of Albanian Super League football champion KF Tirana. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Tirana, Albania.
Sporty greetings. I am Ndubuisi Emmanuel Egbo, former Super Eagles goalkeeper and the chief coach of KF Tirana FC of Albania. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
World Cup football fans will be able to watch an unprecedented 4 matches a day on television during the group stage of the 2022 tournament in Qatar. Officials announced host Qatar will kick off the World Cup November 21st against an as-yet undetermined opponent at the 60,000-seat Al Bayt Stadium. The final will be played December 18th at the 80,000-seat Lusail Stadium. With 4 matches a day during the group stage, and with the relatively short travel distances for the venues in and around Doha, it could be possible for fans who travel to the 32-team World Cup to attend multiple games each day. The early matches are scheduled to kick off at 1 p.m. local time, with the 4th match of the day starting at 10 p.m. local time and finishing just before midnight. FIFA's chief tournaments and events officer, Colin Smith, says 4 matches a day throughout the group stage ensures optimal rest time for the teams.
So first and foremost, the match schedule is designed around sporting criteria. As football fans, we all want the best players in the world, the best teams in the world, to perform at the highest level. And one of the key factors to ensure that is the amount of rest that the players get between matches. So with this match schedule, 61 out of the 64 matches, the teams have equal rest. They have 3 days rest between matches, which is optimum for sporting performance. This round of 16, there's 2 matches where the teams will have 2 days rest, and then the third place playoff match, there's 1 team will have 2 days and 1 will have 3 days, which is not uncommon for that particular match. So for the 28 days which we have for this World Cup, which is slightly shorter than previous World Cups, this would entail a 12-day group phase and a 16-day knockout phase, with 4 matches a day during the group phase.
The 2022 World Cup was switched from its usual June-July slot due to the heat in Qatar. And it's the first World Cup that will be held in the middle of the European club season. Colin Smith says there will be a celebratory atmosphere in the Gulf state.
The World Cup is always a festival of football, a real celebration for the fans who come on site and watch. And, you know, in Qatar, with the compact nature, this is going to be amplified even more, with 32 teams and 32 sets of supporters all in and around Doha, with Qatar fully embracing the experience of hosting the World Cup. The 4 matches a day during the group phase, the 2 matches during the round of 16 and the quarters, also provides much greater access and opportunities for fans to see not only their favourite teams, but also other best teams in the world, be that in the stadium or at the FIFA Fan Fest taking place in Doha.
Meanwhile, the Secretary General of the 2022 FIFA World Cup Organizing Committee is Hassan Al-Thawadi. He talks about the historic nature of this World Cup.
This will be the first World Cup in the Arab world, in the Middle Eastern world. We've always said that we are aiming for it to be a bridge between different cultures. It'll be an opportunity for people from different backgrounds and different walks of life to not only experience great football, but create lasting relationships and lasting bonds and friendships. And especially considering that we're coming out of COVID-19, I think I genuinely believe it'll be the first global celebration where we will collectively have overcome COVID and we'll collectively be able to celebrate this tournament and create a lasting bond. And that's why I think it's When I always thought it was previously significant, I believe the significance has become even more.
That's Hassan Al-Fawadi, the Secretary General of the 2022 FIFA World Cup Organizing Committee. And thanks to World Football's governing body, FIFA, for that audio.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Yo, 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 sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. In African boxing, Ghana's former WBO Super Bantamweight champion Isaac Dogbe has made a victorious return to the sport in his first fight in more than 14 months. Dogbe stopped American Chris Avalos late in the eighth round Tuesday night in their non-title featherweight bout in Las Vegas, Nevada. The referee stepped in and ended the fight after a sweeping right by Dogbe dazed Avalos. Dogbe had lost his two previous fights, both to the Mexican Emmanuel Navarrete. Speaking after his comeback victory in Vegas, Isaac Dogbe had this to say.
First and foremost, I give the first place to the Almighty God. It's been a tough 14 months, but, you know, God has been with me every step of the way. I'm grateful, you know, and I just want to say thank you to honor, praise the Lord, you know, for this, for my comeback, you know, and everyone that has been by my side, you know, guiding me through these 14 months. I mean, it's been a tremendous road, but finally, you know, we're coming back. We're still warming up. I felt great in there today.
The win improves Isaac Dogbe's professional record to 21 wins and 2 losses with 15 knockouts. Chris Avalos, meanwhile, saw his record drop to 27 victories and 8 defeats with 20 knockouts. Dogbe had been trained by his father, Paul Dogbe, in his previous fights. But for this one, American Barry Hunter was in his corner, and Isaac Dogbe heard his advice.
I had to listen, you know. I could hear his voice telling me, you know, just take my time. I should take my time. I should relax. I shouldn't force it. I know sometimes I was more or less like a little bit tense, you know. So once I went with the flow, everything was just flowing off the jabs, and I felt great. I just want to say a big thank you to, you know, ESPN and Top Rank. I'm glad to be back on ESPN now. I just want to say thank you to all the people out there. They've been very, very supportive.
That's Ghanaian boxer Isaac Dogbe, who was triumphant Tuesday night in a non-title bout here in the United States. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat and dumbolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Lori. That's my VOA colleague, Lori London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Here in Washington, the USA's top infectious disease expert is going to get a chance to show off his pitching skills on Thursday. The AP's Jackie Quinn reports.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is a big fan of the Washington Nationals, the defending World Series champs, and they're big fans of Dr. Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. The teams described him as a true champion for our country during the pandemic and throughout his distinguished career. So they've invited Dr. Fauci to throw out the ceremonial first pitch for Thursday's Nationals game against the Yankees, the season opener, delayed nearly 4 months because of the COVID-19 outbreak. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Thanks, Jackie. And here are some more fun and sporty facts about 79-year-old Dr. Anthony Fauci. He was the captain of his high school basketball team in New York City, and he remains a basketball fan. In fact, one writer, because of Dr. Fauci's basketball background, has described him as America's point guard during the pandemic. Dr. Fauci says he used to run until about a year ago, but his back started tightening up, and so now he walks between 3 and 4 miles daily. Walk on, Doc! Meanwhile, a refugee from Burundi has discovered a passion for running while living in Hong Kong. VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. 38-year-old Burundian refugee who goes by the name Rose has lived in Hong Kong for nearly 5 years and has faced significant challenges raising her son in a new country. But with the help of the charity organization Run, Rose's life has blossomed with a newfound interest in running that she tells VOA she wishes she discovered years ago.
Running is my passion. I just regret why I didn't do it before when I was in my home country.
Rose says she literally ran from her home country, Burundi, in search of peace. After first living in a refugee camp in neighboring Rwanda, she and her son fled to Uganda before finally settling down in Hong Kong, a place she says she had only seen in movies.
When I first came in Hong Kong, life was really difficult, not only about money, and I didn't know anyone. I was new in this big country, no one to help me. I had a small baby. Life was really difficult.
Hong Kong features beautiful trails that are ideal for hiking and running, and it was there through the Run organization that she found the peace she'd been searching for and the support she needed to reclaim herself.
After I know the Run organization, everything I can say was really good. They not only helping with the rent, but with everything, they try the best that they can.
Virginie Golthals is the director of Run, and she says her organization does more than just encourage running. It offers hope, especially to asylum seekers who have made a life in Hong Kong.
Run stands for more than running. Run stands for rebuild the lives of vulnerable refugees, unite them as a community and with the local Hong Kong community, and nurture them into a more hopeful future through life skills and education. The situation of refugees and asylum seekers is very difficult in Hong Kong. When you're alone with a child, this makes things extremely complicated. It means that you need to rely on NGOs to top up your rent to be able to live in a safe place. NGOs play a very big role for refugees and asylum seekers in Hong Kong, especially when they suffer from trauma. Hong Kong does not offer any rehabilitation service or adult education. Refugees are very resilient and strong people, and they love to challenge themselves like any other person.
Asylum seekers and refugees involved with the organization hike and run to rebuild their mental and physical strength and rediscover a sense of community. And Run volunteer Allie Lohr says she saw the change in Rose within a short period of time.
For 6 months, I was volunteering regularly, and I met Rose, and through 6 months, I could see her really progress as a runner, and you can really see her strength build and her confidence build even over that short period of 6 months. What's also great about the running community is that it really is a community. I think people think it's a very solitary sport, but it really isn't. When you go on these trail races, you see people that are just as crazy as you, just as like-minded, who are willing to go out on the trails for hours and hours on end.
Rose has also established a community off the trail as a qualified caregiver for the elderly in Hong Kong. She's also taken part in a parenting class to learn how to be a better mother for her son. Virginie Gothel says Rose has made tremendous strides in running and in life as well.
I think her longest distance is 35K, but she really smashed it. She's now very confident, independent, and self-reliant mother who just simply cannot wait to restart her life.
And Rose says her love for running and her new life in Hong Kong have given her hope for a better future.
The time I was thinking there is no hope or there is no peaceful in my life, it was only sitting and crying all the time. I could not feel happy. I could not give a good example to my son, because I was like in deep darkness. I could not look forward because I was thinking I don't have tomorrow. But now everything has changed.
Rose now calls Hong Kong her home and says she will never stop running. And that is all from me. Sunny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And I think it's safe to say Burundian refugee Rose has really blossomed with her running in Hong Kong. Kenya's 1500 meters world champion, Timothy Cheruiyot, says he's looking forward to competing at the Monaco Diamond League meet on August 14th. In an interview with China's Xinhua News Agency, the 24-year-old Cheruiyot says he started training late because of the pandemic, but he's now hit the road and he's in rhythm. Timothy adds that in just over 3 weeks, he hopes to be at his full potential and capable of winning in Monaco. Finally, let's hear from the captain of English Premier League football champion Liverpool.
Hi, it's Jordan Henderson. I know everybody is looking forward to Wednesday, just as much as I am, but at the same time, I know how difficult it's going to be without the fans. You know, it hurts us as well that we can't spend this moment with you. But it's really important at the same time that you stay at home, you know, celebrating in your homes, watch it on the telly. And when we can have fans and when we can get people back into the stadiums, we'll certainly have that moment together. Yeah, it gives us something to look forward to in the future. But for Wednesday night, please stay at home and don't undo all the good work the NHS have been doing over the last few months. You know, that's really important. And if we do that, the quicker we can get back into the stadium and the quicker we can see each other again. Take care. You'll never walk alone.
That's Liverpool captain Jordan Henderson urging supporters to stay home and keep a safe distance as the team prepares to lift the Premier League trophy. And thanks to Liverpool Football Club TV for that audio. And that wraps up the July 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.